Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this, the 18th Sunday after Trinity, but a Sunday when I hope we can focus on families and any girls and boys who are in church. I'll need your help later on, so don't be going away. We're following the order on the little Sunday worship sheet. I should maybe explain, this sheet comes, believe it or not, from our sister church, the Church of England, and it is used widely in the English-speaking churches across Europe, the Anglican churches in Europe, and in case you're wondering where it came from, it certainly isn't my draft, but it's a commonly used sheet in other parts of the church. So we're following the order. I would like you maybe to leave these sheets because I've got to bring them to Maher Hamlet, and in the entrance of the environment and Hilary Edgar's photocopier, we maybe should save them for as much as possible. Let's stand. This is the day that the Lord has made. Beloved in Christ, we have come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, and to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. We're going to begin our service this morning singing hymn 618 in the hymn book, Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy. 618. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. You may sit or kneel as we join in the confession. Lord God, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse you from your sins, restore you in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. The hymn number 224. 224. Readings today, or the reading, the gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 21, reading from verse 33, but the Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 5, And to shorten the Old Testament reading, because it is really the preface to what Jesus says in the parable in Matthew 21. So the first reading, as it were, is Isaiah chapter 5 and the verses 1 to 7. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up, cleared it of stones, and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower on it, and he cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, it yielded bad grapes. Now I will tell you what I'm going to do in my vineyard. I will take away the hedge, I will break down the wall, I will make it a wasteland, I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, the people of Judah, and the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice, but he found bloodshed, for righteousness, but he heard their cries of distress. And then in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus picks up what the prophet Isaiah had said long before. Listen to a parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, and he put a wall around it. He dug a wine press, and he built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and they treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Let us kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous to see. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard these parables, they knew he was talking about them. But they were afraid of the crowd, because the people held that he also was a prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, Master Carpenter of Nazareth, who on the cross with wood and nails did work our full salvation, wield well your tools in this your workshop today, that we who come to you rough-hewn may by your hands be fashioned to a truer likeness of yourself. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. I do see some girls and boys in church this morning, and I wonder, would you be willing to come up here beside me and help me at this point? I want to include the choir in this. They're singing so well. And, you know, often a clergyman finds himself, I do anyway, standing with my back to the choir. And I always think, is that because the choir are beyond anything I might say? Or is that because the choir are not part of this outfit anyway? You obviously are, so I want to include you. I think you could have, let's say you have a seat for a minute or two until I get to when I need your help, and I really am going to need it. But what I want you to do this morning, are you in school? You're back to school? Yes. And how are the teachers? Good. And who's your favorite? Mr. Graham. Wow, I hope Mr. Graham is here, is he? Maybe some of his relations might tell him. He what?
He's in Hillsborough.
He's in Hillsborough? Oh, that's a bad place to come from. Anyway, what I want you to imagine you're the teachers this morning, okay? You and I are going to teach all these people. This is our class. So I want you to listen up and see how they answer the questions. Okay? And your name is?
Joshua, and this is Holly.
Joshua and?
Holly.
Holly? Have I got that right? Yeah. Great. Now, you're the teachers. These are the pupils. Are you waiting for it? They're now getting nervous. I can see that. Because I've got questions for them. Do you remember the reading was about a vineyard? This is a story Jesus told. He was always telling stories, and he told us today a story about a vineyard. And I want to know, what did the owner of the vineyard do in the vineyard? No, you're the teacher. These are the people who are going to answer the questions, I hope. Oh, are you going to choose the? I think we better leave it open. I wouldn't like anybody put on the spot. So what did he do in the vineyard, the owner? Now, Isaiah said it, and then Jesus said it. Anybody remember? Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad. Well, okay, the choir will help me out then, maybe. What did the owner of the vineyard do? I think I hear the answer. Do you know when I'm in church, I don't listen either.
He
what?
He was doing
correct. Now, the teacher's given me the answer. He planted it. He dug it out. He fenced it. He planted it. And he built a watchtower. Okay? Now, it'll get easier. Second question. What did the tenants do? Now, surely, come on. What did the tenants do? Help me out, Helen, here. He set the whole thing up, but the tenants, what did they do? They're a rough lot. They'd have been useful last night at 8 o'clock, sorry. No, that was the owner dug it up first. But what did the tenants do? Well, you remember the next thing that happened, he went away, the owner went away, and he sent servants to the people running the tenants in the vineyard. What did they do to the people he sent? My goodness, you obviously don't watch enough horror on television. Well, they beat the first.
They tried to execute
well, that's polite. They beat the first three up, and then he sent his son, and they executed him. They murdered him. So we've got the tenants, we've got the tenants, the people that came, and Jesus then says, at this point, the stone the builders rejected has become what? Great. Well done. Do you know they're getting better? Aren't they? What do you think? They're getting the hang of it. Yeah, indeed they are. So Jesus says, and this is a picture of what has happened. He's giving us another picture. The stone the builders rejected. They beat them up, they murdered them, and they finally killed the son, has become the cornerstone. And it is the Lord's doing and marvelous to behold. So what I would like quickly to do is to learn that verse. Have you stuff to learn? Let me do this quickly. This is the most important verse in this parable. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And I want us to remember that verse, because that verse tells us that it's very easy for us, or for, in Jesus' day, God's people, to become so privileged and so blessed that we take it all for granted and we neglect the Messiah or Jesus, because that's what this is the story of. You remember we opened with the verse which we will hear at Christmas. He came to his own people and they did not receive him. But to all who received him and believed on his name, he called children of God. So this is an important verse. So the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And it's Matthew 21:42. Now, there's an easy number to remember. Chapter 21, verse 42. Okay, you ready for this? Now, there are two halves in this church. These are the one half, and these are the other. We're going to find out who are the halves and who are the have-nots. So first of all, you can come out here and stand, because you have to listen carefully here. Would you like to come out, Holly, as well? Because I need two opinions on this. These people are now under judgment. We're going to learn this verse, this half first. So the half to your left, all the people on your left, and the choir on your left. Maybe you should stand back here so as we can hear the choir. And the verse is, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So say that first, after two. One, two. Now, you keep quiet. I want to hear the congregation. Let's hear the congregation. Right? After two, all the congregation this side. One, two. Great. Now then, will we do the other side as well? Right. After two, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. One, two. Now, let's hear the congregation on their own without the choir. After two, one, two. Now then, teachers, which side is doing it best? Oh, what do you think, Holly?
What he thinks.
What he thinks?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Will we keep the others in? We'll get them to write it out afterwards. Let's all say that together. And at the end say it's, because we need to be able to look it up, Matthew 21:42. So after two, one, two, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Matthew 21:42. Thank you very much. You have done really well, and I have a bag of sweets here. There you go.
Thank you. Take
a couple of those because you've earned them. Well done, Holly. You want another one? Take one for your mum or your dad. Because otherwise my teeth will be falling out. Well, you've been very patient, and you know, the key thing about that verse is what it says next, but that'll be the next time I come, which might never happen. Isaiah says it, and Jesus says it. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see. And that's a picture for us of what is happening, I believe, in the church today. Because in the church today, often those of us who are church people take it all for granted. And yet, in our time, in this part of the world, the churches are diminishing and diminishing in numbers, if you're counting numbers. And I think that we need to adjust. We need to be people who will produce fruit and grow and bring life into our communities. Because, as Jesus said, otherwise the kingdom will be taken from one lot and given to another. And it is true that that is happening in many places, and even in this part of the world, and maybe your experience. I'm sure you know lots of people who are in churches that we have never heard of. Long ago in my time, we used to call them house churches. And now there's Cornerstone Church and Grace Church and church plants. They've been planting churches here in our own diocese for 10 years. They're about to celebrate that. And that's a sign that things are moving on and we need to move with them. But it's not about us. It's about Him and our dependence on Him and the Holy Spirit. And hence, Jesus said, it is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to behold. So I pray that that will be the experience of the people in this church who serve here today, that the church will reach out to people who are not here, and it will grow and produce fruit and life in people's hearts and lives. You've been very patient and very good. Let's say a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you indeed are the cornerstone which in the past has been rejected. We ask you to come into our lives, into our hearts and homes today, and make us the people you want us to be, living witnesses and fruit in our weary, broken world. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand now, and we will affirm our faith in our risen Lord Jesus Christ in the words that are on the service sheet. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. Now we're going to sing from our hymn books, number 327, which continues the theme, Christ is our cornerstone, on him alone we build. 327. Thank you. Let us pray. First, the prayer for today, Trinity 18. O God, our Savior, teach us to be open to your truth and to trust in your love, so that we may live day by day assured of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, remind us again of the consequences of taking you for granted, like your own people Israel, who when Jesus came, did not receive him. By your Holy Spirit, help us to open our hearts and lives to Jesus, so that living in us, we may bear fruit and life and growth in your church today, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And this morning we give thanks for all who serve you in this church these times. We thank you for those who serve on church committees and in church music and in all the other ways that this church witnesses to Jesus and cares for this community. We remember the rector, Robert, on his holidays. We pray that that will be a refreshing and renewing time for him. Thank you for the people who first led us to faith and empowered us by your Holy Spirit, not only to pray your kingdom come, but to actually work and witness that it may come in our time. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We remember this morning all those whose lives are overshadowed by illness, either at home or in hospital, or loss, the loss of someone dearly loved, or any other kind of distress. And we hold them before you now in the quietness. Risen Lord Jesus Christ, may your presence and your peace surround those whom we have remembered this morning in the quietness of our prayers. And we pray today for those people whose lives are devastated and destroyed by war. Not only do we remember the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, but this morning, alas, we come in sorrow, remembering the tragedy and the destruction that has broken out in the homeland of Jesus. We pray for all those who have been injured, those who have been bereaved. We remember those who are trying to bring relief, those working in the hospitals. And we pray especially for those engaged in the conflict, either with arms or politically, that peace will come and a better way will be found to share that special land. O God, without you we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that now and in all things you will direct and rule the hearts of those who are at war with each other at this time. For your name's sake we pray. Amen. Let us sum up our prayers and pray for each other as we say together the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And also, we should include the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And our final hymn and offertory hymn this morning is number 218, Charles Wesley's "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Love?" Love, and he for me, for thee. You may be seated. Just before the blessing, one or two announcements for this week. There is no tea or coffee following today's service. Instead, there will be light refreshments after the morning service on the 22nd of October. Should be hungry by then. Items for the food bank may be left in church following the service today. And then on Wednesday and Saturday at 8 o'clock, the bowling club in the parochial hall. Sunday next at 10 o'clock, parish communion. And on the 22nd of October, morning prayer with the launch of the free will offering renewal program, followed by light refreshments. I think that's all the announcements. Anybody want to add an announcement if I left anything out? No. Okay, let's stand for the blessing. O God, our Father, you create us by your power and you redeem us by your love. Strengthen us now by your Holy Spirit as we go out into our daily lives to serve and witness for you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.